This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Truths for Lasting Life Change, was delivered on June 9th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Good morning, New Hope!
Good morning.
Whew. I think we should make iced coffee, yeah, nowadays, for this next 3 months. All right, so I have some announcements today. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for helping take care of the family while we were gone. Thank you, John, for filling in at one weekend. I mean, if we didn't have these people, man, I wouldn't be able to go nowhere. You would have to listen to me for 52 weeks of the year. Wow. Boy, that would be like punishment, huh? Hey, if you are new here or if you have a prayer request or you're interested in learning more about Jesus, can you fill this out and put your name? Or if you don't want to put your name, don't put your name. If you have a prayer request, fill it out. Drop it in that blue acrylic box at the greeting table and we will get this out to our prayer team and be praying for you. All right. Coming up Thursday night at Ray Chang. Ray is right there making coffee at his home on Thursday at 6. We're going to continue in our Bible study called Whisper. It's about hearing the voice of God, because God doesn't shout like me. He whispers. Hello, what? He whispers. So you got to kind of get your tuning correct so you can actually hear him. Thursday night, if you need directions, you can see Ray making coffee, or you can see John Kui where he was back there. He's up there. That's coming up Thursday. Hey, we are selling smoked meat today. Thanks to Gary, Lynn, and Branson. They did a wonderful job. This is fantastic smoked meat. We're raising funds so we can send some of our youth to summer camp here at New Hope Hilo. And thank God it's at New Hope Hilo and not on Oahu, because, man, that would have cost a whole lot more because of the plane fare, transportation. But because they make it here, all the kids from Oahu got to pay the money to get here. Yeah, about time, yeah? They charge us for the rail, we charge them for plane fare. So that's coming up. So right outside this door after service, please support us and our youth for summer camp and getting some smoked meat. Did I miss any announcements? I think we got it all. Man, my wife and I, we were in Nashville and say the music city. And it's indeed, there's music all over the place, country music. We went to the K-Love Fan Awards. How many of you listen to K-Love? Well, they're going to broadcast the Fan Awards today on TBN at about 1, 2, or 3 o'clock, something like that. And my time is so off because Nashville is 5 hours difference. And so when I'm going to sleep, because I got a long day, my phone is going bang, bang. Everybody from Hawaii is texting me. And it's like, come on, seriously, I'm trying to go to sleep. They don't know I'm away, but it's all good. But so we went to the K-Love Fan Awards, and it felt like I was listening to K-Love, but it was live because we got to see Lauren Daigle and for King and Country, Casting Crown, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and so much more. And it was an experience. And thank you guys for holding up the church, because we were able to go and we're back safely. We only had one glitch in getting back, and it was the last leg from Honolulu to Hilo. We left the gate, we stopped, we turned around, went back to the gate, waited in the plane half an hour, only to go back and get off the plane and get on another plane. But you know what? I told them, better get off the plane than be floating in the ocean someplace. Right? You know, don't you agree? I mean, the people, they just give the stewards gas, man, because we, you know, they're gonna get off the plane. But hey, we'd rather stay on the plane and who knows what would happen, right? So ushers, could we prepare for the tithes and offering? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, thank you so much that we get to give of our tithes and offerings. Lord, we ask that you would bless our tithes and offerings, that we could use it to expand your kingdom in many ways, Lord, to reach the lost, to equip the saved, and continue to grow in knowledge of you. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would bless it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Whew. Well, it's good to be home, and there's no place like home. You know, Nashville is very far. Very, very far. And it's in Tennessee. Okay, so you're thinking, just because you're in Tennessee, you can go do that there in Tennessee. But in reality, Tennessee is like right in the middle. And I was thinking, oh, I would really love to go see the Smoky Mountains. But it's actually like 4.5 hours away from Nashville. Oh, I'd like to go see Memphis, where maybe, I don't know, did Elvis grow up in Memphis or something around there? But it's another 3.5 hours the other way. It's like, I really can't do nothing. I'm stuck in the middle of Tennessee. So the closest thing to see was this place called the Mammoth Cave. And we went up to Kentucky to see that. We went to a different state. And it only took us 1.5 hours. How's that? And so this is a really crazy, spooky thing about it. We went to this cave, okay, and we walked for nearly 2 miles underground. Kind of spooky. I mean, all the whole time I was thinking, like, if there's an earthquake, oh, you see those movies, right, where you're trapped in a cave and everything is too much movies maybe I watched, but that's what I was thinking the whole time. Walking, and so some places, it was so great. I was so happy to be short. Because there was all these tall guys, and for 30 yards, they had to walk like this. And I'm walking like this. See, all these guys make fun of us short guys. Yeah. But it was a great experience, and I'm glad I'm back. Well, our conference, the theme was restored by Jesus. And there were many stories of people being restored. And I was one. I was restored because I came from a brokenness, and God restored me. And this morning, I want to share something about how we can have a changed life that's not going to just for a little while, but lasts for a long time. My life has been changed for nearly 20 years. And when I made the choice to let Jesus into my heart some 20 years ago, my life wasn't like perfect. It was far from perfect. My life, when I gave my life to Jesus, when I came to the point in my brokenness and I said, I really, really need a change, because if I keep living like this, I am going to be dead soon and I am going to raise children in a wrong way. When I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't get my life all in order and then come to church. I came filthy, dirty. I was still drinking, still smoking, swearing, anger, you know, all those, pretty much the things that you read in Galatians 5:19. They kind of call this the deeds of the flesh. And there was most of these things in my life, not all of them. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Now, that I didn't do. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. Yeah, I still deal with that. You know, right? You know that, right? When I'm driving, I'm still dealing with that. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, a lot of that. Carousing, things of these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a difference between practicing these things and these things happen accidentally. Like you slip, you have one too many and you get drunk. You don't practice this. Like my drunkenness was a practice. I mean, actually, it was more than a practice because I had it down to perfection every evening. It was any time of the day, because my saying was like, it's 4 o'clock someplace in the world. And yeah, so I was perfect at this because I would do that. But I was doing this regularly, not by accident. So it says, those who practice such things would not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, and as I started going to church and started listening to the sermon, started reading the word, started going to Bible study and fellowshipping, hanging out with the right kind of people. You know that for like 2 years, I could not go to my neighbor's house down the street. And even to this day, when I go to his house, he's a really great guy. I take him fishing with us. He's been here one or two times, but every time I go to his house, he guarantee he'll offer me a beer or two or three or four. Guarantee he'll offer me some cigarettes, because he always does. And I enjoy the smell of a cigarette, but I will not smoke them. Weird, yeah? So as I started going, I had to actually stay away from his house for a couple years because of the temptation, and I knew I was too weak. But as I started getting into it, the alcohol and the addiction started to go away, and 1 or 2 years into it, the smoking stopped, the attitude got better, the anger issues got better, but I still have them now and then. Maybe there's areas in your life that you really want to change. How many of you got, you got like some areas in your life, I want to change this, but it's like, how do I do it? And how do you believe that God wants you to change? And maybe sometimes, you feel stuck. You know, I really, really, really want to eat salad. But not really. I really want to try and be healthy, but yeah, kind of. You know, how do you get rid of anger? How do you quit smoking or something you're addicted to? And you got to understand that you got to believe. You really, really got to believe that Jesus, he wants the best for you. And he wants you to be transformed. As the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, I mean, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are in Christ. He is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I'm so glad that, the old Scott, it's gone. Once in a while, maybe flashes come up and I snap. It's like, oh, where that came from? You know, it happens. You know, just like the caterpillar. You see the caterpillar and comes out and transforms into the butterfly. Doesn't go back to the caterpillar, but he's transformed. Our lives should be like that, transformed to become more like Christ. When Christ comes into our lives, it's a process of which our character becomes more like Christ. And if you think, if this is God's plan for us, think, why is it so difficult for many of us to experience this kind of transformation? I mean, think about it. You know, why sometimes we get stuck? It's like, I don't feel like I'm changing. You know, I think Paul, he had that same, Paul, the guy, Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament? I think he had this, I cannot imagine what this guy struggled with, because I read the Bible and I read the New Testament. Most of them is written by him. And I don't know what he struggled with. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask him. But in Romans 7:18, He says, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. He's basically saying, I want to do what is right. You know, I want to do what is right so badly. But I find myself not doing it. And the very thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. Does that sound familiar to anyone? You know, I don't want to eat that donut. I don't. But there's one left and nobody's going to eat it. Do I throw it away? That's wasting, right? I don't want, usually at men's ministry, Doc, he brings the donuts. And the way I see it, if the men went through it and there's one left, then God's saying to me, oh, it's okay. But there's some days when I open a box, there is no donuts left, and it's like, well, I'm just going to have to deal with it. You know, I want to do good. I want to eat salad, but really? I want to do good. I want to drive to town without getting mad at people running red lights. But sometimes I get mad. It's like, you know, because they're putting people's lives in danger. I want to eat healthy. I want to exercise, but oh, ESPN is so much better. I'd rather watch people exercise. Doesn't work the same. I hate grumbling. But sometimes there's so much disrespectful people in town that kind of like it just happens. You're like, oh, look at, you know, I wish this guy could park in one stall, not in 1.5 stall. Kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah, no, nobody can relate to me. You guys can relate to me? Yeah? Yeah, and sometimes when I see that, and my wife always puts me in my place when I'm driving and I'm grumbling about somebody who's either going to a red light or going too slow or going the wrong way in a one-way direction, and I'm learning, and she says, stop it, honey. Stop it. Listen to you. And it's like, oh, I don't want to, but I find myself doing it. And I think I can feel what Paul was going through. And in Romans 7:19, for what I do is not the good I want to do. The thing I do is, you know, for what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, I do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's a sin living in me that does. So it's like, I kind of just like, for me, it's like on cop out saying, oh, that's not me. That's not me grumbling. That's not me outburst. It's a sin in me, but it's still kind of like, I got to keep myself accountable somewhere, right? Can't blame everything on the other guy. And then in verse 24, Paul goes, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And in verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So in our everyday life as a Christian, there is a great tension. I mean, the conflict is that we agree with God's command, but sometimes we just have a hard time doing it. And the result is we become, in a sense, painfully aware of our sin. You know, when I'm grumbling and I have outbursts of anger, and when I eat unhealthy, I mean, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And as a temple of the Holy Spirit, you would think I should take care of it better, right? And because I don't take care of it the way I should be taking care of it, you know, we are painfully aware of what we are doing. When we have outbursts of anger, when we have drunkenness, envy, carousing, jealousy, all those things listed, we become painfully aware of, like, I need to do this and stop doing this. But why do I keep doing this when I know I should be doing this? It's like a daily struggle, and we become aware of it. So from Paul, we learn what to do about it. Because when he felt overwhelmed by the spiritual battle, he would go back to the beginning of his spiritual life when he got knocked off the horse. And he remembered that he'd been free from sin. Remember when we were before Christ? Before Christ, whether we realize it or not, we were a slave to sin. I was a slave to alcohol because it would dictate where I would go, where I would shop, what I would do, where I would go out or not. It was, you know, ruling my life. It would keep me up late, get me up late, keep me out late, early in the morning, get me up late, because I was actually a slave to that. Doesn't seem like it. You think it's a whole good, fun, and glorious thing going out and having stuff, but you're a slave to it. So the power of Christ can lift us to victory. And the question is, how did Jesus conquer sin? And how does that work out for us? You know, and if we think about it, we live in a society that people would think change happens when we try harder, where we think that must be the formula for change. It's like exercising. If you try harder, you maybe get better. But I think the Christian life is not about trying hard to live like Jesus or achieving some kind of morality. I think the Christian life is about having that intimate relationship with God the Father, to Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross, what he did. We are united with him by faith. We are crucified with him, and we are resurrected with him as his spirit enters our life, and we begin that new life. So true life change, you know, true life change, I'll tell you this, it happens from the inside out. It doesn't happen where I receive Jesus and I wash myself, I put on new fancy clothes, and I come to church and I can look really fantastic on the outside. Or maybe not that fantastic, because I am what I am, you see? Okay? But true life happens when you let that spirit, when you say yes, and that spirit comes into your heart, you read the word, you fill your mind, and from your mind it goes down to your heart, and then it kind of fills your heart. And then from the inside out, it changes you. And then it's like you, what you put in, you keep putting in the word, the spirit, the prayer, everything, and it fills your heart. And it just like it transforms you from the inside. And that transformation always begins with the truth that is found in God's word. And whatever is true of Jesus also becomes true of us. And this morning, here's the thing, that the three truths that you need to believe and to live out to have that lasting life change. And I hope, for me, it's been 20 years. And I hope this lasting life change, and I continue this, will continue until the day that I die. So here's the first one. Number one, you are free. You are free. Since the power of sin was broken when Christ died on that cross, poured out his blood, and he rose from the dead 3 days later, you are free from the power of sin. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Okay, you are free from the power of sin. The chains are gone. But see, there's somebody else telling you otherwise. The devil. He's lying to you. There are two voices talking to you. One is the voice of the Holy Spirit. The other is the devil. Whose voice are you going to listen to? How do you know whose voice belongs to who? Tough question, yeah? If you spend enough time in the Word, then you will have an easier time discerning between the two. You will. Because sometimes the devil will whisper good things that you might think will prosper you and can prosper you. But you really gotta discern the voice. Because I believe the devil can keep you prosperous to keep you away from Christ. Because when you get prosperous, I get him. I don't need it. I don't need help. But when we are broken, when we are poor, when we are looking for our next meal or the next way to pay our bills, we are on our knees quick to pray and ask God for help. But when we are prosperous, we're good. So you got to watch whose voice you listen to, because there are two out there. Number two, you are forgiven. Not only has sin's power been broken, but sin's penalty. You know what the penalty of sin is? Death. Right? The wages of sin is death. But that penalty has been broken. It's been paid for in full. When Christ hung on that cross, the sins of all people of all time were placed on Jesus. He absorbed it all in our place. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. You are forgiven. Don't let the devil tell you you're not, because he will, and don't listen to it. You are secure. Number three, death doesn't have dominance over you anymore because you have eternal life. The moment you turn from your sin and trusted in Christ, the moment you said, "Yes, Lord," the Spirit of God came into you, sealed you with his Spirit. And he adopted you into his family. Excuse me. He took you, like me, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Gave you a new relationship with God, the Father. A relationship with a supernatural community called the body of Christ. An eternal inheritance. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. How many of you know that you have eternal life? You really know. You're secure. How many of you are not sure? Really, honestly. How many of you not sure? Okay. Anybody not sure? Not sure. Okay. After service, we'll close. We'll ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Then you can claim this promise that you'll be secure. That 1 John 5:13 says you have eternal life. These are facts. Because you can choose to give into sin, give into temptation, be fearful of demonic spirits. But as a believer, you can look at death and sin straight in the eye and realize that, hey, you don't have power over me anymore. Amen? 1 John 4:4, you might want to write this down. You might want to write it down in your Bible, highlight it. you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He. You notice that He is a capital H. It's talking about Jesus. Greater is He that is in you than He. You notice that He is small h, who is in the world. It's talking about the devil. Greater is the Jesus Christ that's in you than the devil that's in the world. This is like the beginning of a lasting life change. You can feel it or you cannot feel it. But the truth is, you're forgiven, you're free, and you are secure. Believe that. Don't let the enemy lie to you anymore. Don't let him say, are you sure? Are you sure you're safe? Really? Honestly? Remember, you wouldn't swear the other day. You really think? If you were safe, maybe you wouldn't have swore, huh? Or you wouldn't have yelled at the guy at road rage in front of you. Huh? You sure you're safe? Maybe not, huh? Think about it. That's what the devil will do to you. He'll put doubts in your head. Don't listen to this. Because you're forgiven, you're free, and you are secure. Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Whether you raised your hand or not, whether you have any doubts as to whether you are forgiven, you are free, or you are secure, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you say this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you. Bless you. Hold up your one. Hold up your hand. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands that said yes to you. Lord, I pray that you will give them the confidence to know that they are forgiven. The confidence to know that they are free from their sins. And the confidence to know that they are secure. That they have eternal life because of what they just said. Thank you, Lord, for what they said, for their prayers. We love you, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we do have some Bibles, I think, in the back or maybe on that table if you don't have a Bible. We also have a Yes booklet on the table. Take one of those because it'll help you understand what you did and understand you in your walk with Jesus. Amen. And it's a great thing. We like to let us know because we like to celebrate with you. If you need prayer, let us know. We'd be happy to pray for you. For those of you who've been wanting to purchase the Bibles that we've been having, I just got another case in. It's $37. It's up front here. Just come and see me after service. All right. Oh, it's so good to be back home, man. And we're gonna sing. So would you stand? Don't forget, we're selling smoked meat right after service for our youth to go to summer camp. If you have a teenager and you want to get them to summer camp, let someone know, maybe Jennifer or Tiff, so we can get them hooked up with the right forms to fill out. All right. Worship team, you ready? Amen. Rock this house.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. So good to have you back.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.